speaks a lot. All right. Today's reading is from Mark chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. We will hear it three different translations of these verses. From the New Revised Standard Version, other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100 fold. And he said, let anyone with ears to hear listen. From the Common English Bible, other seed fell into good soil and bore fruit. Upon growing and increasing, the seed produced, in one case, a yield of 30 to 1. In another case, a yield to 60 to 1. In another case, a yield of 100 to 1. He said, whoever has ears to listen should pay attention. And finally, from the message, some fell on good earth and came up with a flourish, producing a harvest exceeding his wildest dreams. Are you listening to this? Really listening? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Mindy Moore, and I'm the campus pastor here at St. Luke's Midtown, and I just need like a minute after that song. Ooh, will you pray with me? God, I'm so grateful for the different stories that fill this room and for the way that you have said flourishing is possible for each and every one of us. God, sometimes we have to do some work to get to that place. Sometimes it is hard. Sometimes there are tears. Sometimes there's reflection. But Jesus, you show up. And so today we just celebrate the ways that you are present with us and celebrate the ways that your teachings shape our lives and the way that you invite us to live them out in the world. So God, be with us today as we study your word and we look at this parable together one more time. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it is our final week of our June series called It's Not the Seed, It's the Soil. And we have been digging deep. I made that joke last week, and I had a couple of people love it. So thank you for your puns, your permission of my puns. But we're going into this parable that Jesus tells of the seed and the sower. And if you have been kind of in and out, it's summer, so we're kind of all over the place as a church right now. But if you've missed the first 2 weeks of this series, I want you to know you can go to the Midtown page of our St. Luke's website, and you can find all of these sermons archived as podcasts, because we've been kind of building as we've gone through this parable. So if you need to go back and refresh, you can do that there. But in week one, we looked at what it's like to be the sower, what it's like to go plant things and expect something to happen, and then what we do with our faith when those things don't always turn out the way we think that they will. Last week, we looked at three of the four soil conditions that Jesus talks about, the three adverse conditions where things struggle to grow and thrive. And we looked at, well, what happens? How does God work when we end up in some of these difficult soils? And this week, as we wrap it up, we're turning to the very end of the parable. You heard it read in three different translations, but we're looking at what it means to flourish together. And you know, every week of this series, we've had a, you could call it visual aid, and this week we have a flourishing plant. Now, if you were with us week one, I need you to know that no, these are not the seeds that I planted on week one. In fact, though, I do want you to know, well done. They're wildflowers. Someone asked me. I was like, now I know. They're wildflowers. I just want you to know, we have some seeds back here behind the chancel, and they're growing with no help of mine, the ones that I put in that pot. So if you are like actually tending your seeds, they're probably beautiful by now. But we talked about, as we planned this series, you know, wouldn't it be fun if like we could plant some seeds and grow a big plant and show flourishing? But you like can't do that in 3 weeks. Because flourishing isn't quick. Flourishing takes time and commitment and sometimes a lot of investment. And so with that in mind, I want to tell you a story about one of our St. Luke's members, Haley Russell. I saw this on her Instagram and I was like, hey, it's me. Can this be in the sermon? And she graciously said yes. So she has been tending a lilac bush at her house for like 16 years. Here's a picture of the bush. And Haley self-described to me as we talked about this as having aspirations of a green thumb. And I identify with this, but maybe not fully developing those aspirations in the current moment. And so she said, I was thrilled to plant this lilac because it is the kind of plant that just doesn't take a lot of high maintenance. You know what? Like this thing can grow and thrive and do what it's going to do. And so for a few years, Haley and her family enjoyed this plant in their backyard. It was looking great until one day they noticed that branches were mysteriously disappearing. And so we're like, this is a very strange crime that's happening. Like, who is taking branches off of this lilac bush in our backyard? And so as they investigated, they realized that it wasn't someone taking branches. It was some animal. A beaver was getting into their yard and having a lilac snack whenever it wanted. And so they had this bush, it starts getting attacked by a beaver, and then came the bugs, and then came the blight. And I think that sounds like a very suspenseful novel, the beaver, the bugs, and the blight. And so they realized, okay, we have to do something. We've got to transplant parts of this bush, because we don't know if it's going to survive in this location. So they took a few of the seedlings and they put them in different parts of their yard, including one very tiny one in the very front. And it was going okay, it started to grow, and then one day Haley noticed it had been trampled. And so she was pretty bummed about this and thought, okay, I'll have to dig it up at some point, because now instead of like a cute little bush, it looks like we have a random stick just in our front yard. Like, what are we gonna do about that? But the reason I reached out to Haley about this story is the other day she went outside, and this is what she saw. That little stick had started to grow leaves. And if you look at the base of this stick, she said, that's not a weed at the bottom. That's more seedlings growing. So this little stick that they thought was beyond hope came back to life and started growing something else right next to it. You know, that's where we ended last week, talking about when we're in that moment where we think the soil is too bad, or the branches are all dead, and the story is just over. And then somehow, God comes along and takes us by surprise. God comes along and starts to grow something in its place. And so that's where we're going to land this parable today. Because after everything that Jesus had to say about seeds and soil and growing conditions, the place this parable ends is that flourishing is not only possible, but it's actually what God wants for us. It's really what this whole story and this whole life of following Jesus is all about. And there's a reason that this parable, where Jesus makes a point to tell us all the ways that seeds cannot grow, where Jesus points out all of the obstacles, it ultimately leads to good soil and good growth. It ultimately leads to flourishing. Because what we see in this parable is that even though challenges are part of our story, they're not the point of the story. In fact, when we look at the Bible, and you all know I love reading the Bible, I do. When you look at the Bible, when you look at God's story, it bookends with flourishing. It begins and ends with this beautiful story. Like if you go back to Genesis, it begins in this perfect garden. And if you fast forward to Revelation, it ends with this beautiful, perfect picture of heaven. Now, in between Genesis and Revelation, okay, it gets a little messy. It does. There's grief, there's betrayal, there's pain. I mean, there's a lot of hard stuff that happens between the beginning and the end. But I think what that tells us is that when things are exactly as God would have them be, there is flourishing for everyone and everything. And as we hear this parable that Jesus tells today, it's really important to him that we understand this. You know, if you read through Jesus's ministry, if you read the Gospels, sometimes stories are repeated throughout them. And I love that this parable shows up in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. If you've been here all 3 weeks and you've kind of been noticing things, we've actually read out of all three of those Gospels to hear this parable. And as these stories are told throughout the different Gospels, sometimes they change things, right? Like the writer will write to their specific audience because they want to make a certain point. But what I think is so interesting about this parable is that it's very, very similar in how it's told. And all three versions end with Jesus saying, "Listen, pay attention. Do you hear me?" Like Jesus is saying to his audience, look, I don't want you to just look at me and smile and nod. I don't want you to just look at me and think about what you're going to have for lunch. I know you're hungry. It's okay. But Jesus is like, friends, you've got to hear what I'm saying because it's so very important. It matters for your faith. It matters for how you live your life. It matters for how you understand who God is. And so as we pay attention to what Jesus has to say, he really paints this picture of what flourishing is. I want to read to you from verse 20, which is a little bit later than what Suzanne read for us this morning. Jesus says, "But the seed planted in the good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams." A harvest beyond their wildest dreams. Flourishing beyond our wildest dreams. As you hear that, I'm just curious what comes into your mind. I'm curious what that would look like for you to flourish beyond your wildest dreams. You know, I think as we answer that question, we have to look inside and we have to look outside. This is very much a both and situation as we think about flourishing. And then when we start by looking inward, it's this question of where is our faith? How is our heart doing? It's like when someone asks you, how are you? And they don't want you to say fine and do this, which I did that like 6 times this morning. I thought that's very ironic because I'm about to talk about this. But so often that's what we do, right? We hear that question, how are you? And we just keep moving. But I think if we're going to talk about flourishing, it asks us to look deeper. It asks us to ask the question that John Wesley, who founded Methodism, the question they would always hold in their small groups. How is it with your soul? Now, I know there's probably about a third of this room that just kind of is checking out right now because you're like, Mindy's trying to get us to talk about our feelings. It's true. Always. I mean, every day, right? I was crying during that song. I love the feelings, but I want you to stick with me, even if you're not a feelings-oriented person, because I actually think it is so critical that we do this kind of self-examination. It's so critical that we ask these questions and we pay attention to the soil that's inside of us. Because here's what I think we do sometimes. I think sometimes we look at the soil around us and we say, well, of course I'm not thriving. Of course I'm not flourishing. That soil is hard. That soil is challenging. I couldn't possibly grow in these conditions. And while I think the external soil matters, I mean, that's what we talked about all last week, I don't think we can neglect the soil that's inside of us. I don't think we can neglect to acknowledge what God can do in us, even when we're in less than ideal conditions. Sometimes the Holy Spirit can really surprise us in the way that the Spirit works and the hope that the Spirit can create, even when things are really hard. You know, our faith isn't something that we experience in a greenhouse. Like, we are not greenhouse-grown spiritual beings. No, we're growing out there in the weeds. We're growing out there with the pests. We're growing out there with the kids running through the yard, maybe trampling the plants. Like, we're growing out there in all those challenges. But I think even when it seems bleak, God can be up to something that is so good. You know, there was a season in my life where I went on a lot of mission trips. I led them, I participated in them, and sometimes they were, you know, international, sometimes they were in the U.S., but they tended to have a big theme in common, which is that I tended to go with churches that were, we'll say, had a lot of means, and we tended to go to places that had less material means. And every time I went on one of these trips, every single time, I would hear someone from the church I went with say something to this effect. Things are hard here, but everyone seems so happy. Now, I'm going to have a moment of radical transparency with you. I always felt very uncomfortable when I heard that said. Because I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, we're coming here from Indianapolis or wherever we're going from. Like, you've got 4 bedrooms and central air, and we're, like, in this environment. What do you mean that people are happy? Are you not happy? Like, what's going on in you to evoke this kind of response? So I had a lot of questions about that. But, you know, as I studied this parable and thought about this idea of tending our inner soil to flourish, it made me think of that circumstance, because it made me realize that the ability to find, nurture, and grow hope and joy inside of ourselves when the conditions around us are just really hard, that's an act of faith and resistance. And I just wonder if sometimes the people on those trips that I was with, if maybe that's what they were seeing. They were saying, hope is showing up here, and I didn't necessarily expect it. I didn't know to expect that. I think when people see hope spring up in us when we're in hard conditions, we take notice. We take notice when we see it in someone else. People take notice when they see it in us. Because even if it's not what we would expect, it's absolutely what God says is possible. And that's what Jesus is inviting us into here when he talks about having this life that flourishes. He's talking about having a relationship with God that roots so deeply, that is so nourished, that flourishing isn't just a possibility for someone else, but it's a possibility for us. Jesus wants us to find that deep hope that comes from God, our Creator, that hope that's for you and you and you, and like that person 3 rows over, you can look at them. It's for them too. Like, this hope lets every single person in. And I think when we flourish from that internal place, when our faith is growing and it's thriving, it doesn't stop with our individual experiences. In fact, what I love about where this parable shows up is that right after Jesus tells this story about seeds and soils, he moves on to the next metaphor. I mean, Jesus loves a good metaphor. He is like a preacher's preacher right there. Like, he loves a metaphor. And so he moves from seeds and soil to this idea of the light that we carry. And here's what he says. Jesus went on, "Does anyone bring a lamp home and put it under a blanket or beneath the bed? Don't you put it up on a table or on the mantle? We're not keeping secrets. We're telling them. We're not hiding things. We're bringing them out into the open." We don't keep flourishing to ourselves. Like, this is not something that we hide. Because at the end of the day, while flourishing involves us, it's never limited to us. Because when you let yourself create those conditions inside of you where you are growing and healthy, that's when the good news can be lived out into the world. Like, it spills out of us. And that's the type of flourishing that brings everyone to the table. You know, you've heard a lot about VBS this week, and one of the things that they said over and over at VBS is who's invited to the party? Avery's got it, she volunteered. Everyone's invited to the party. And so I'm walking through the halls of St. Luke's last week, and I just keep hearing hundreds of kids screaming, "Everyone's invited to the party." And I thought, that is God's vision for flourishing. There's no scarcity in this place. There's no scarcity when it comes to what it means to thrive and grow. It's for every person everywhere. Because the truth is, if you're not flourishing, then I'm not flourishing. If my neighbor's not flourishing, I'm not flourishing. If that guy that stands at 62nd and Keystone with his sign isn't flourishing, I'm not flourishing. If that person that makes me really angry isn't flourishing, and y'all know I don't like this one, I'm not flourishing. Our flourishing depends on each other, and I should care just as much about your flourishing as I care about my own. If I don't, I'm missing a really critical part of what Jesus is trying to teach here. Our flourishing depends on each other. You know, this week is Juneteenth. It's on Wednesday. And I think it gives us such a good picture of what this collective flourishing thing is all about. Now, Juneteenth is just recently celebrated as a federal holiday, but it's been celebrated, especially in the Black community, for hundreds of years. On June 19, 1865, Union troops arrived in Galveston, Texas, to share the news that the war was over and enslaved people were free. Now, a lot of people knew this. Restoration had been happening, liberation had been happening, but everyone didn't know this news. So on this day, that changed. And once this news was known to all people, that was a reason to celebrate. See, when I think about Juneteenth, what I think about is the fact that if some people are celebrating, but not all people are experiencing freedom, we can't have the fullness of that joy. We can't have the fullness of that celebration. The celebration starts when we all have the chance to flourish like God would intend. And I just wonder what we, what I, as a white pastor, as a predominantly white congregation, what we can learn from the message of Juneteenth. What we can learn by that idea that our flourishing is so deeply connected to each other. You know, I think sometimes we get caught up in this just falsehood that I've got to look out for myself. I've only got to pay attention to what's happening between me and God, and then everything will be okay. And I just think Jesus says, you know what? There's a lot more here. There's a lot more freedom. There's a lot more joy. We can care about each other in a way that really makes a difference. We can be involved in the work that God is doing as a liberator, as a healer, as a righter of wrongs, as a creator of peace. Like, that is something that each and every one of us is invited to do. That's a place that each and every one of us is called to step into. So I just want to read these words of Jesus one more time. He says, some seeds fell on good earth and came up with a flourish, producing a harvest exceeding his wildest dreams. I think it's kind of a wild dream that we would have a world where this kind of collective flourishing happens. I mean, some people would say it's kind of idealistic and impossible. I'll give you that. I will. But I think that it is possible because it's God's vision for this place. It's God's vision for us. Now, it's going to take work. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have questions. I think that's okay. Because I just wonder if Jesus is calling this faith community to create that kind of condition where we can flourish, both in this room and out in our larger world. I wonder if Jesus is calling us to be a place where sadness turns to joy, where pain experiences healing, where injustices are made right, where everyone would know that they have a seat at the table and not just like accidentally, oh, you showed up and we're glad you're here, but like that we do it on purpose, that we're expecting everyone to come to this party because we believe that we can be a place where flourishing actually happens. Because, you know, at the end of the day, this story of seeds and soil, I think it's a story of hope. I think it's a story of hope that comes from Jesus, and it ends with something really good. It ends with joy and abundance and celebration. It's a story that even after all the struggles, ends with flourishing. So let's be people who live into God's vision of what could be, and let's be people who celebrate what God says is possible. Will you pray with me? God, we want to live into your vision of what it means to flourish, of what it means to create a community that is just so deeply rooted in your goodness and your love. God, we're grateful that you have created space for each of us. And we're grateful that you invite us to create that space for other people. God, thank you for the way that you love us and see us and know us. And for the way that you invite us to flourish and grow. Amen.